All right, so up to page Reish Chaf. Before we continue into Reish Chaf, there was just a thought I wanted to share. It's negeya to the sugyas that we've been doing. I have to go, like, at like 10:15 punklach. So we'll see. We'll see how much we can do. But what have we been learning until now? So we've been learning that that the Gilui Chassidus is. Until the Baal Shem Tov, the Ikar Avoda was, the Ikar Dveikus was through attachment to R, right? And the Ikar Avoda was to be Mamshech, more R in the Kalim, you move out to the Kalim, they're just sort of, in the way, you have no choice but to, we're physical, so you have no choice but to deal with it, but Lamais, it's in the way. The Ikar is R. Comes Baal Shem Tov, Baal Shem Tov is Megala, no, that just like R is Elikus, Kalim is also Elikus. Kalim is also Elikus. So Kalim obviously needs R to guide it. Like we've been talking about, guide it to temper it, to tame it, and so on. But Lamaisa, Dveikus has to be a package deal. It has to be with Iris and Kalim. All right, so, and we saw from the Pizetzne how that idea, conceptually, how that plays out in the Avodas Hashem in terms of embracing one's Midas, embracing one's humanity, embracing Mitzvahs Maisius, all the Zinyonim. There's one other Nakuda that I think is Kedai to mention. And that's something that you see from the Taras Chacham. So, in the Taras Chacham, so on page Ayin Tes, and Mebe, again, we don't have this in front of you, but Ayin Tes and Mebe. So, he quotes a piece over here. He quotes a piece from the Arizal, the end of Eitz Chaim, and he adds a couple lines to explain it, which I think then sheds a lot of light on the relevancy of the Baal Shem Tov to our generation. So he says like this. Just a quote from the Arizal. So this is the Arizal. He's quoting a piece from the Arizal all the way at the end of Eitz Chaim. So he says a lashon. I'm not going to be able to read the whole thing, but he says a lashon like this. The Arizal is talking about basically. The Arizal is talking. In the infrastructure of the worlds, there's the high, Atzilus is like Gevalda Gimadrega, right? And the lowest is Asiya. Asiya is the lowest of all the worlds. So the Rizal's talking about Asiya. That's what he's talking about. That's for our purposes. So he says like this, Kineged Oilam Haza, corresponding to this lower world of Asiya, just like there's these all different Madregas in the worlds, there's Madregas of Neshamas paralleling them. So there's Neshamas of Atzilus, And there's neshamas of Bria. These are big neshamas. But corresponding to Asiya, which is a lower world, there's also neshamas. Keneged Oilam Haza, corresponding to this world, in other words, Asiya. Hanikra She'era, the world of Asiya, in the context of there is called She'era, which is, it's like the Pasuk says regarding She'er Ksus V'Oina, the responsibilities of a husband to a wife. She'era Ksus V'Oina, so La'igra. So She'era is one of the responsibilities that a husband has to a wife, like in terms of parnasa, physical food. It's like pretty basic. So the lower world of Asiya is called She'era. She'era is nothing too exciting, when it comes to clothing already, that's an expression of your identity, of your feelings, especially by a woman. Aino is obviously an intimate relationship. She'era is, you should be able to eat. So it's very basic. So the world of Asiya is called She'era. So regarding the Shamas that correspond to that, Nemar, it says in Pasuk, V'hoya She'eris Yaakov Bagoyim, that the remnant, the word She'era is also connected to the word Shirayim. She'eris Yaakov, the remnant of Yaakov Avinu, is lost amongst the Goyim. So the Rizal says that the Shamas that correspond to this lower Madrega of She'era are called She'eris Yaakov. Gehem b'chinas hashiyurim shenishtayru, because he's playing with the word she'era, that again it's like from shirayim, so it's like shirayim dik neshamas, like leftovers, like little leftovers. V'nei shiyura, it's all from the Rizal. V'nei shiyura kedusha elu, and these shirayim of kedusha, these lowest neshamas that are just like shirayim of kedusha, nikrayim she'eras Yaakov, they're called the remnant, the shirayim of Yaakov Avinu. Shein basiya, because they're all the way, they're connected to the lowest madrega of Asiya. Ashasham kolaklipas. So it's like, that's what the pasuk means. She'eris Yaakov bagoyim. That these neshamas, which are called from the category She'eris Yaakov, are amongst the goyim. V'zeu She'eris Yaakov bagoyim. That's the meaning of the pasuk. V'im tizkar mashakosav l'cho b'say. Now he says an interesting sentence. Very, doesn't expand upon it. And it's fun. It's a funny way of talking. V'imtizkar mashakasa mashamarti lecha. And if you remember what I told you, beside regarding the secret of the following pasuk, v'amar hadar ha'acharin, that the last generation, a pasuk talking about v'amar hadar ha'acharin, the last generation, it's talking about like the last generation, you know, being sort of like being astonished about Golis, and like the Dor Acharon doing tshuva and like sort of waking up a little bit. Shehu Nikrish Eiris Yaakov. So the Rizal says that's a reference to this category of neshama, Eiris Yaakov. So now Eiris Yaakov is not just identified in terms of its like place in the hierarchy of the Olam, that it's a lower world, also in history. It's now identified as the Dor Acharon. That's what the Rizal is saying. Shebuchin is the Motu Raglin Baraglin. And it's connected to an idea that the Rizal references, talks about in the beginning of Eitz Chaim, which is when the Pasuk, I can't explain, it's one of the time to explain this now properly, but even if he would, I'm not sure if he could, but the Pasuk says about regarding Tchias HaMeisim and regarding like the Yemais HaMashiach and so on, V'amdu Ragla V'lhar HaZeisim. It says a kivyachal Hashem, whatever it is, Hashem's feet, Hashem's going to stand on Harazesim will split. The whole, it's a description of the end of time. So the reason the beginning of Eitz Chaim talks about this idea of Amdu Ragla v'al Harazesim as in the context of the reason again for our purposes, the reason says that that pasuk is a reference to fixing the lowest world dafka with the highest light. V'amdu ragla v'al harazesim means to fix those neshamas that are called like the feet, dafka by connecting them to adam kadmai, to a very, very high madregas. Whatever that means. So these are all the dots that the Arizal is writing in Eitz Chaim over here. So you have a new category of neshamas that's called She'eris Yaakov, that they're coming from Asiyah. They specifically come from, in history, they appear by the Dor HaAcharon. And their tikkun is deeply attached and intimately attached with the coming of Mashiach, as the pasuk says, his feet stand on Har Zeisim. Okay, that's what the Rizal writes in Eitz Chaim. Now, there's a couple lines that the Taras Chacham quotes this, and he before he introduces this piece, he says the following thing. Shenishmas, he's about to quote the Rizal. Shenishmas, but this is the words of the Taras Chacham. Shenishmas Dor HaAcharon. Boy, Asiyah. That's what he saw, that the neshamas of the last generation come from Asiyah, the lowest madrig, which is called She'eris Yaakov, and their tikkun is what's necessary for Mashiach. Besayid v'hayu She'eris Yaakov. Elas, now this is the chid. Elas, she'enim nekroim b'shem neshamas, mirov shiflusam. Says that the Taras Chacham, these neshamas are so low, and they're so shirayim dik, that you can't even call them neshamas. Relative to the other categories of souls, they're not even called souls. They're called like bodies already, relative to real neshamas. So as we, in other words, obviously within those people of She'eris Yaakov, they have a neshama, they have a guf. But when it is a bit, you cited by the Taras Chacham, everything is just sort of relative. But when you take that category of neshamas of She'eris Yaakov and you put them in the big picture of Nishmas Yisrael, relative to the main body of Nishmas Yisrael, to the main categories of Nishmas Yisrael, this category of She'eris Yaakov, they're not even called Neshamas. They're called a body relative to the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael. So what comes out? From the Chiddush of the Taras Chacham is, with that Rizal, when you want to define this last category of She'eris Yaakov, is just the lowest. But the Taras Chacham is saying, not only are they the lowest, they're categorically, they're fundamentally defined as different. What's the difference? They're not only the lowest neshamas, they're b'chol not called neshamas. Neshamas are like R, and bodies are like kelim. These neshamas, they themselves are called kelim. So now let's plug that in to what we've been learning until now. What have we been learning until now? That the light of the Baal Shem Tov is what? Is a giloy. That kelim are also elikos. So until now, we've seen that as being used for what? That within yourself, you have an R and you have a kli. Your R is a neshama, and your kli is your body. Right, your is in the neshama, your kli is your body, your midas, the action, the physical things that you do, you know, davening and learning is our physical mitzvahs is kelim. So the Baal Shem Tov comes to be mechazik the inyan that even kelim are made of light. But now now with this Taras Chacham, we have a new expression and need for Taras Baal Shem Tov, Because Taras of Baal Shem Tov now comes, because now you have this category of neshamas called Shiras Yaakov, that they themselves are Kulei Kelim. Even their neshamas are Kelim. So how do you enliven those neshamas? The only way to enliven those neshamas is with Taras of Baal Shem Tov, because the Taras of Baal Shem Tov says that Kelim was also Elikos. So not only is that idea of the Baal Shem Tov necessary to be mechazek people that have a neshama, that they should be, that even their kelim, that their body and their emotions and their physical activities should be enlivened, but there are some neshamas that even their neshamas are bechinas kelim, and those neshamas can only be enlivened by the Baal Shem Tov, because the Baal Shem Tov is the one that reveals that even kelim was also elikus. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, this is why the Baal Shem Tov is specifically needed for the Dar Achran. It's not the Pshat just like, again, it's not the Pshat that the Dar Achran is like we're Shvach and Neshamas, so we need like heavy dosage of God's presence. It's a completely different category. Our Neshamas are called Kalim. Our light is called Kalim. So the only way to invigorate and to give us the ability for Dveikus is through the Gilei of the Baal Shem Tov that Kelim was also Elikos.
You said also Kelim is the Iker, huh?
And Kelim is the Iker. That's what the Rizal is hinting to, that v'am de ragla v'alhar zaysim, that when those neshamas find the tikkun, that's the key to Gaul itself. And the only way for them to find the tikkun is for them to be connected to such a high madrega that even Kelim is Elikos. This is why the Baal Shem Tov is specifically needed in the Dar Achran, and it's not k'dei kach, it's an impossibility for a yid to find dveikus almost without the gilui of the Baal Shem Tov nowadays. And I don't mean necessarily through Taras Chassidus, even though you could definitely make the argument that that's needed too. But I'm saying, lu yitzuyer, it's the gilui of Baal Shem Tov. If it wasn't for the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov opening this revelation that Kalim is made of light, then those categories of neshamas called She'eris Yaakov, that they're even their neshama is called Kalim, then they're left in the dark. There's nothing that can be done.
You know, according to the Torah's Chacham, now our bodies that are our neshamas that are our bodies, we would still be the bodies would still bring Mashiach.
Well, once you have the body, yeah, because that's the idea.
That, is the Torah's Chacham before the Baal Shem Tov?
He a little bit after.
He's still saying bodies are going to bring Mashiach. We're going to be the.
That's the point. That's the point. In other words, that's the ultimate. The ultimate tikkun again is not to just. It's not only. I mean, what's the point right now? What I'm saying is that the pre Baal Shem Tov model not only is it incomplete, because Lamaisa Kalim are being left out. It can't work anymore when you're dealing with the category of She'eris Yaakov. It doesn't work because you're dealing with Kalim. You're not dealing with R anymore. You're dealing with everything is Kalim. There's nothing else. Even their neshamas are Kalim again, relative to Klal Yisrael. So that's She'eris Yaakov.
The only thing that's connecting us to the whole system to any avoidance.
Right. Otherwise, there's nothing. Again, if you so.
How can Neshama be Kalim?
Relative to the rest. This is a big issue by the Torah Chacham. You find this. I mean, it's not his chiddush, but I'm saying the idea of things being redefined based on relativity, based on what they're compared to. You do find, and listen, everything has to be seen. I guess you can say everything has a positive and a negative, right? So let's say America, right? So part of the challenge for us in America, one of the challenges is that I mentioned this before, that the air of America is kashl shikha. You breathe in America, it makes you forget, right? So there's something about America that makes you forget where you come from, your lineage. Like, so if you were, go back 150 years, you're born in the Vision of Chick. Guess what? Your great grandfather was born in Vision of Chick too. And you're probably living in the same house as your great grandfather lived in. So you're raised with a deep attachment to previous generations. And that gives a lot of strength because of that, you're not going to veer too far off from Vision of Chick, because that's that's the way it goes. So, or whichever the place is, Schwarz Timmer, like my father's side, some of the family come from a little town No, it was like a city in Russia. It was called, in Russian, it was the translation of it was White Cross. That was the name. So the Yidden called it Schwarz Timmer. That was the, so if you're, if you come from Schwarz Timmer, and your ancestors come from Schwarz Timmer, guess what? You know, so, but the problem is in America, so America's Kashal Shekha, so we don't have that sense of like ancestry. And so that allows us to sort of fall, yeah, that causes big nisyonis. But to a certain degree, maybe there's something positive in that. Because if you're a She'eris Yaakov, Dik and Ajama, and you have a deep sense of relationship with previous generations, then you're going to see yourself as Kalim and not a Neshama. You understand? Because She'eris Yaakov is called Kalim relative to earlier generations. So the more you see yourself as relative to earlier generations, the more you're going to see yourself as Mamash Kalim. So there is a Nechama in not being connected so much to earlier generations, in the fact that you're not comparing yourself to earlier generations, and then you could isolate your generation and see yourselves as having the Shambas. But because, you know, on the other hand, the flip side of that is that we don't have the connection to earlier generations as much as we had, so you could veer away from Schwarz Timmer. You know, you could go, you know, you could go to White Cross. You know, there's, you know, you could do that, but. You know what I'm saying? So there is a little bit of a... it's like Rav Nachman said, that forgetfulness is sometimes a good thing. Because this you know, if you don't... Let me put it this way. If you don't have the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov and the Gil of the Baal Shem Tov, then you can't survive as a She'eris Yaakov Dik and Neshama, knowing where you come from and comparing and being connected to the... How could you get out of bed like that?
Inferior complex.
Yeah, because you see yourself as you're deeply connected to previous generations, Mimela, which means that you define yourself relative to them, and when you define yourself relative to them, you don't even have an Hashem. All you are is Kalim. So how can you survive like that? So maybe it's like an interesting thing where we find this. Like it's always like a question. Hasidic culture, I guess you can say. If someone from the outside, if you didn't know anything about Hasidus, you know, go back 10 years. You know, go back 7 years. Whatever it is. Go back, you know, go back right now. Yeah, right now. So if you don't know anything about Chassidus, right? And you look at Chassidim, and you had to sort of use Chassidim and to sort of, you know, figure out, deduce what Chassidus is about. What would you say? So one of the things that would probably pop out at you is that Chassidus must be about maintaining the tradition of earlier generations. That's mastamba what you would say, which is so ironic because the only Chassidus is a revolution. And it's changing things, right? But yet it became a Zach, not completely, I'm saying, but you definitely, there's an element of truth to that, right? There's like, you know, we look American, we talk English and things like that. And by the Chassidim, you took them, what?
They did what the whole generation.
Exactly. You take a Yid from Williamsburg, Borough Park, Monroe, whatever it is, and you do a time machine 150 years ago, they probably work it, it's fine. They could probably work it out. You know, obviously, you know, not 100%, but it would be a smooth. They would need less therapy than we would. Let's put it that way, right? So, okay. So what's the pshat? What's the oimik of that? How is that connected to the light of the Baal Shem Tov? So it's always seen as like the opposite. Like, no, Baal Shem Tov is a revolution, and somehow the revolution aspect of it sort of it became mainstream, and all that's left is so. What is so? But that's also part of Chassidus. It must be. But I think the answer is this Nakuda. No, now that you have the Gilu of Baal Shem Tov, and Kalim is also Dveikus, Kalim is also Elikus, now you could allow yourself to be connected to earlier generations. When you're connected to earlier generations, you're just She'eris Yaakov and all you are Kalim. That's okay, because the Baal Shem Tov revealed that Kalim was also godly. But if you didn't have the Gilu of Baal Shem Tov, then you can't allow yourself to be defined as Kalim, so you have to disconnect from earlier generations to not have your identity relative to them. You have what I'm saying?
What did the Neshamas back before the Baal Shem Tov came that were, let's say, they say there was a reincarnation of a David HaMelech or whatever? What did they do? Because they were a David HaMelech, and now they're like, what am I?
No, even when you have a Gilgal and things like that, it's not the same Neshama. It's only a piece of the Neshama that was not activated yet. So it's a smaller, like a spark. You know, when you have like a Gilgal, it's not the same person. It's Adarabba.
Well,
it's
still, even that spark is still a piece of that Neshama.
Sure.
It's like they're technically Kalim compared to
There is always an integration between Aris and Kalim, but the point is that part of the Neshama that then becomes She'eris Yaakov is Kalim relative to the bigger picture. Oh, yeah, you're right. I got it wrong.
Sorry.
Vivi is called the Brahman.